something to share, so I want him to share. Amen? Come on.
Good evening, everybody. I wanted to tell you about a little epiphany I had this week. And it was kind of ironic because last week was Thanksgiving. And when you think of Thanksgiving, you think of a big table and everybody there. The way this all started was this past week, my beautiful wife said to me, she wanted me to do a little challenge. She said K-Love was having a 30-day challenge. Well, I never listened to K-Love. I just didn't, because I'm not a radio guy. I don't even listen to it in the car. And she said the 30-day challenge amounted to you listening to it for 30 days, and then I guess you'd see where you were spiritually, I'm assuming, after that. Well, I can't honestly say I've listened to it for 30 days or even 30 minutes a day because of my schedule. You know, you just don't. But the day I started listening to it, an artist came on. His name is Zach Williams. And I don't know if you're familiar with him, but it moved me in a way I can't explain. And what happened, one of the songs is called To the Table, which made me think about Thanksgiving and how it was like God sending me a message. Well, within this song, before he's singing it in front of a group of prisoners at Harding Prison, and he says to the prisoners that God can take the biggest mess and turn it into the biggest message. I started to cry. I was one of the biggest messes. And I know that. And you can only come to decisions to change your life when you're ready. And I think PK and I have talked about that before. You have to be ready. Now, Janie wanted me to be ready many, many times. But you can't force anything into it, let alone a religious, spiritual foundation. Anyway, this song, To the Table, he talks about having this long table and envisioning yourself taking your problems, pulling up a seat, and sitting at that table at the cross. And that hit home with me so much because this is my table. You guys are my family. You know, I have so much to be thankful for because of you, you know. And I needed people to understand how much it means to me to have you as a leader in my life, and you as a leader in my life, and all you sharing your little bits that you give back. I want to be what you all are. And I hope my journey continues on such a pace. I'm overwhelmed. Emotionally, I am totally overwhelmed. But I'm thankful for all of you and people like Zach Williams. If you have not heard his message, please listen to it. It moved me beyond any place I've ever been. But thank you all. It means a lot to me to have you all giving me the hug every day to keep me going. I appreciate it very much.
Appreciate you. Amen. Hallelujah. We got a lot of people with a lot of word in them, don't we? Come on, amen. That's an awesome sign right there. And sometimes it's more in you than you think. And where'd my glasses go? Oh, I got them. I just want to share something. I was thinking about this, and this is something that I just really want us to reflect, because those moments like that are moments that, those are God moments. Those are moments when God just inspires you and quickens you. And at that moment right there, we have to cherish it. We have to hold on to it. We got to really proceed with the word. Proceed. Because the word is a proceeding word. It's a word that we need to proceed with it. We need to carry it. We need to move with it. And I was reminded this week of a man named Moses. And I began to think about Moses and think about what he said to God. And it's kind of like us, because this is what we do. I want you to hear this, because I believe every one of us really need to, like Randy and these ones that shared this word and had so much. You have so much within you, all the different gifts that you do, allows you to prepare things and do all this stuff. And every one of you have something special. And I just want you reminded, because what happens is sometimes we end up talking ourselves out of it. God presents something to us, and sometimes we'll end up talking ourselves out of it because of things around us. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So do you know what faith, what do you think the opposite of faith would be? In some ways, that's true, but I really began to think about this, that faith, the opposite, is actually sight. It's sight. Because that's the problem. If we don't have that, it's hoped for. It's the evidence of things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's what we don't see. It's that's real. Amen. It's what we don't see. It's that thing that we feel inside of us. It's that what we know within us that God tells us that we hold on to, that prevailing word. That word prevails you through whatever you're going through. See, that's the same thing that happened with Moses. And Moses had to learn this because Moses was at the Red Sea. And he stood before God. He says, God, what am I going to do? He says, all these people are coming. He has every right to do this. You see the whole Egyptian army. You got all these people. You're responsible for this moment right here. There's moments in our lives where we're pressed against the wall. What are we going to do? And God was teaching him. He says, listen. He says, you can look and see or have faith in me. You could see that, okay, and see the enemy's coming. You could see that, and it can overwhelm you and it'll stop you right here. Or you can have faith in me and I'll open this water up. He didn't tell him what he was going to do, but he says, just lift up your hands. The children of Israel were the same way, where that they went in there and God told them, he says, listen, go take the land. I've told you that. I've given you courage. I've given you the ability to do that. But what happened was, with the opposite of faith, they seen the enemies. They seen that they were there. They seen that they looked like grasshoppers to them, that they were midgets, they were small, they were insignificant. They talked themselves out of what God said to do. Because I want you to know that when they went into that land, they believed that they were going to get it. It was theirs. But by the time they got in there, they didn't keep the faith. They didn't prevail. They let their sight overwhelm them. And I want you to know that sometimes we got to not look at what's happening right now. Sometimes in your walk with God, you just have to have faith to believe what He says about you. And that's where we're dealing with Moses. See, Moses said this to God. He's arguing with God. I love this because I do that. Come on, amen. Argue with God. And God, no, trying to negotiate. Come on, you ever? I remember one time when I was a kid, and I remember that I used to have a good way of talking myself out of things. You know what I mean? My mother, I could say it here, my mother found me with marijuana one time, and I talked my way out of it. She found it in my pockets, you know, in doing my laundry, and I was never afraid because I knew I could talk myself out of it. And I did. I won't say what I said, but I talked myself out of it. I talked myself out of speeding tickets. I've talked myself out of everything. And I remember one year I went to summer school, and you're only allowed to miss 3 days. I missed the first 3 days. And then I went there, and the teacher came right up to me, and he says, oh, hey, Mr. Kaufman, I'm glad you showed up on your last day that you're able to come. He says, you know, you can't miss any next 2 weeks. You can't miss a day. And I says, oh, I know, I'm good. I got this. He says, you've met your match. He says, you've met your match. He said, because I know what you're about. And he says, so just be on your toes. I made it every single day except for the last day. I was late. So I thought the whole way there, as I rode my bicycle there, I got to summer school. I went to summer school every single year. I walked in. I remember walking into that cafeteria. I remember, I figured, listen, I got to make this dramatic. So when I came in, I went flying in there, and I was on my knees sliding across the floor like this. I said, please. I said, please. I said, I'm sorry. I slept in. He said, what did I tell you? You met your match. And he says, I said, please don't fail. I said, I'm not going to fail you. He said, but it's me and you for one more week. You cannot miss one day. He says, I'm putting my vacation aside just to give you some misery. So he made me come for 1 week, me and him, in the cafeteria alone. For 1 week. I learned right there that I need to be on time, but I try to talk myself out of it. You know what? I feel like that. I feel like sometimes that we're at that place where that when we were with God, here's Moses. He's talking to God saying all this stuff. And then he says this. He says, he tells God, listen, this is what he tells God. He says, and Moses said to the Lord, after God told him, you can do this. He says, I'm not eloquent. Come on. He's talking himself out of it. I'm not eloquent. He says, I'm not eloquent. He says, I'm spoken. He says, my speech is slow and my tongue is slow. I can't talk right. I stutter. I can't. I got everything about it. Listen, I want you to know that here's God putting him before, he's standing before God. And God's telling him, I want you to do this. And he's saying, listen, he's talking himself out of it. He's talking himself. He's trying to talk God out of, well, maybe you're right. Maybe you do suck. You know, I mean, maybe you're no good. And here's what he's declaring them. But this is what God says. And the Lord said, who made you? I love this. He says, who made your mouth? He says, now therefore go. I will with thy mouth, teach thee what to say. I will teach you what to say. I will do it. I'm the God that made you. You think I failed? You think I can't do it? Don't you not know what I think I see inside you? You have to trust me, have faith, not in sight, but in faith. Knowing that what I made is good enough. And you have to trust me with this. This is what God challenges us. He challenges us to believe, to trust in Him, that what He's chosen is worth it. What He's done, what He's provided at that table, like Ryan said, what He's put there before us. Now, it's funny you said about tables because that's the last scripture that I want to share with you. I know it's cold, so I'm going to let you guys sneak out of here a little bit early. Is that all right? We're going to put a Christmas tree up real quick, though. Listen to this. And this is in Luke 14:15. And it says, and when one of them that sat and they ate with him, he heard these things. He said, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Blessed is he that eats in the kingdom of God. Now, we've always been taught this, where that we have this picture of eating with God in the heavenlies and sitting at this big, long table. I always thought that was kind of funny because I'm thinking, well, where am I going to sit? I know I'm probably going to get the kids' table or something. You know what I mean? You know, Thanksgiving, where the, you're the, you know, for years I was at the kids' table. Yeah, don't be late, you know. But I think about this, and I think, man, it's kind of funny to think of it that way. You know, it's really not that. And what he's saying, the kingdom of God, Jesus already told us where the kingdom of God. He says it's at hand. It's here. It's available. Everything I've provided for you. And I've said this before, but the kingdom of God is simple. It's the reality of God. It's the initiative of God. And it is the provision of God. That's what the kingdom of God is, that we are to walk in the kingdom of God in that reality. And it's only provided, He's given it to us because of salvation. Now we can receive God's provision, God's initiative, and God's reality, the reality that God has for us. See, here's what I mean by this. Moses stepped into the kingdom of God whenever he could look at the enemy coming and all this stuff of that. That is the reality he was, or he can walk in God's reality and walk through the Red Sea. See what I'm saying? So we can walk in the kingdom of God today, right now, not some other day, right now. And that's reality. It's what God has for us, His provision. I want to provide for you. I want to give that to you. So He says that we partake of that at His table, at His place. And He says to eat at the kingdom of God. Then said He unto a certain man, he began to tell a story. And he said, this man had a great supper. And he said, he bid many. And he sent his servant, that was Jesus, the Father sent his Son. He says, at the supper time, to say unto them, where were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Say, now ready. They're now ready. Jesus died on the cross. Now he's provided for us to receive. That's why he said, this is my body. This is the meal that we partake of. This is what we are partaking. All that He is, that we can have all that He is. Amen? We can receive it. And so, he begins to share this. He begins to tell them this. He says to come. He's saying, I want to go. So he goes to the church. Now, I want you to hear this and know this, because the church really We got to wake up. We got to realize who we are. We got to have to realize that we can't talk ourselves out of this anymore. We can't do that. Amen. We can't keep talking ourselves out of being available for God or doing what God asks or just being responsive to God. And he says, and they all went, consent began. And with one consent began to make excuses. This is the church. This is what the church has done. Here, I have everything ready for them. They began to make excuses. They began to talk themselves out of what God was doing. And he says, I bought a piece of ground. Listen, these are powerful. He says, I bought a piece of ground. He says, and I have to go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Have me excused. I want to go see it. I want you to know that, listen to me, God's going to share with you, provide everything for you, but he's not going to force you. He's not going to force you to take it. He's not going to force you to eat from it. He's not going to force you to receive that. You have to respond. You have to make that initiative. You have to take hold of it. You've got to sit at the table. You've got to participate in it. You've got to receive it, what he says. You've got to believe it. Amen? So he says, listen to me. He says, this piece of ground, he says, I want to go see it. Now, I think it's powerful because he said, see it. I want to see that piece of ground that I bought. Just having it was enough, but I got to see it. And that, to me, speaks of the flesh, where that sometimes we let our flesh rule us and it gives us an excuse not to take hold of what God has. I want to see it first. And then we never, ever partake of the kingdom of God because I want to see it first. I want to see it happen first. I want to see that first. It's like building your body up and lifting weights and looking great. You know what I mean? We want to just see it, but there's something to get to that point, to get there. The second one, he says, and another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. He says, I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. He says, I bought these oxen. He says, and this one speaks to me of works. That sometimes we talk ourselves out of it because we begin to work and do our own thing instead of what God has for us. Instead of God's reality, we try to provide our own provision. We try to, our own initiative. What's my initiative? Well, I want to hate instead of love. I want to unforgive instead of forgive. All those things. So we begin to work it. You try to work it. That's what the oxen speak of, working it out. You till the ground. You begin to till it up. You begin to plant your own thing. You begin to do your own thing. And that's where we begin to, you know, we talk ourselves out of what God has. Instead of planting what God has, we try to till our own ground, do our own thing. And it's work. It's hard. And we find out, wow, my walk with God is so blah, blah. And we've made excuses not to receive what he has. The next one is, and another said, I have married a wife. And it sounds legit. I want you to know that sometimes we can talk ourselves out of it with good excuses. Why I can't do or why I can't do this. Moses had some good excuses. I'm not making fun, but he stuttered. How am I supposed to talk to the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh of Egypt? How am I can't talk. That's a good excuse. I don't feel good, or I don't this. There's a lot of things, legit excuses. But that's not the kingdom of God. That's God's initiative. That's not God. We're relying on something we see or we feel instead of moving on what God has. And he says, I married a wife. He says, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. And that speaks to me of the three things, flesh, works, and intimacy. That intimacy means that I have placed something more intimate than you in my life. Excuse me. Because I'm more intimate, something has my attention more than you. And I've said this before, that Jesus declared, unless you love me more than your wife, your children. That sounds tough. But I want you to know that that's the most important thing, when we realize I cannot love my wife the way she needs loved unless I love him first. Because he is love. And when I love him first, I can love her the best. Without that intimacy with him first, I can never relate to her the right relationship or be in the right place. I can never give you what God has for you. I can never be what I need to be for you unless I'm right with Him first, or I'm intimate with Him first. I have that relationship with Him first, that I've placed Him first, and I've said I'm married to Him first, and that out of that comes this. I have something to give. That's first fruit. First fruit. My first fruit is to Him. Amen? And we talk about tithes and offerings, and those are so important because, you know, it connects us with, you know, God's blessing, God's provision when we offer our tithes. But not just money. I'm talking about my time, my treasure, who I am, that I offer that first to God. Amen? I give Him my attention first. And out of that, all these other things can produce fruit from that. So he said this, he says, and I believe this is what God's declared to the church. And so the servant came and he showed the Lord his things. 2,000 years ago, God presented to us everything that we need. 2,000 years ago, and we're not where we should be. As a church, as his people. And he says, then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go. Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes and the cities. He says, and bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Those ones that don't believe themselves. Those ones that have been rejected. Those ones that have been left behind. Go get them. Go get them. Go get them. And tell them this. He says, and the servant said, Lord, it is done. Thou hast commanded, and yet there is more room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them in that my house might be filled. That's the heart of the Father. He wants his family. And he says, for I say unto thee, none of these men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, it doesn't mean that, oh, I'm not going to go to heaven. It means that you're not going to taste now the reality of the kingdom of God. See, that's what the disciples experienced. They experienced the kingdom of God now. They didn't preach with so, they had so much excitement because they preached about the reality of walking with God now. Paul, going through all the things that he experienced heaven on earth. Now. All that God provided, now. He believed. Even though he could have talked himself out of it. He murdered Christians. Killed him. He murdered Christians. He killed Stephen. He's the one that commanded Stephen to die. Hated the church. He had every excuse to say, I can't be this. But he didn't listen to what others said or what he thought in his mind. But he listened to what God says when God presented himself before him. Jesus stood before him and he says, I have something for you to do. He says, all right, I believe you. That's what God, honestly, I believe he's telling us as a church. And God has placed on my heart to place people and put people in positions that might be uncomfortable. Now, I've overlooked in my life, and I've been placed in so many positions, and I was uncomfortable with every one of them a lot of times. I didn't feel like I was adequate enough. But I know that I did them, and I know what it produced in my life. And sometimes we want to stay in the comfort zone, in the easy zone, but I want you to know that God's telling me, no more excuses. None of us. We have to take hold of what He has presented us, and what He has is enough. If I believe that your excuse, then I'm not believing that God, what He did, was enough. Well, I said, well, yeah, you're right. You can't do this. No, baloney, you can. And you will. Amen? Not based on anything else, but based on what He says. Amen? So, Heavenly Father, I thank You. I pray to God, Lord, that this word that is presented to God, Lord, that we just take it, God. Sometimes just that little bit that we've received tonight, God, I feel like that was meant as You said. And I pray to God, Lord, that we just digest it, receive it, and let it flow out of us, God, Lord, that we begin to walk in what You have for us today. Right now, we have now faith in You. And not in sight, but in You, faith. Lord, I thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you.